While we're doing that, hey, why don't we just give Pastor Andrew just a hand as he comes forward.
Wow. Hey, give the creative team a hand. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't you love the rain? You may be seated. Who's excited about being in church this morning? Nothing worth doing out there. It's wet, it's cold, you're locked inside anyway. You might as well be locked inside the house of God. Is that correct? Place where the word of God is. We had great worship. Good song. Wow. I heard it before, so I thought I'd tell you that. Feeling pretty special. But I think it's amazing. It's good. It's catchy. We might sing it at the end. Our new song. We've been doing a series on the armor of God. If you haven't been here for every part of that, you can go to our website and you can podcast. Who knows how to podcast? Who doesn't know what podcasting is? There's a couple of people. Yeah, I thought so. David Luxton. Just Rachel, can you just hook him up, tell him how to podcast? So we're on a series called The Armor of God, and we're going to put up, if we can, let's just see if we can get this going. Are we up and running? There it is, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. Can we read it? Finally, my brethren. Who can't see that? Whose eyes aren't good enough to see that? You know, you need to get some glasses or just get healed. Unbelievable. Finally, I've got it here at 16 point on my notes, but that's okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, when you see what's happening in Iraq, you can't put any other thought in your head than pure evil. Is that right? I look at what these people are doing to children and to women and to men, and to me that is just pure evil. Amen? These people are just governed and run by and motivated by. For someone to turn their brain off and do stuff like that, you'd have to be completely overtaken by evil. To be a part of something like that, I can't get my head around that. But anyway, so we've got to realize there's wickedness. There is certainly wickedness in this world. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're going to stop there. All the saints. And all the saints said. So we've looked at that. We looked at the first part about how we are strong. We're strong when we're in God. That's where we get our might from. The first reason is to be strong in Him. If you want to be strong in Him. Go to the gym, it's good, but to be strong in God, to fight against the spiritual elements that are around you, you need to be strong in Him. And we need to realize that we need to be protected. We need to have protection, and that protection comes in the form of armor that God has given us. And every aspect of that armor has a revelation. Every aspect is something that you need to place on, or you need to get a revelation that you've placed it on your lives. A lot of this armor actually comes to you as a believer. But realistically, we can live devoid of that. We can live outside of the revelation of that simply because we don't believe in what we have. Amen? So we've looked at that, and we looked at the very first part of the armor. We looked at the belt of truth, and we have a quick fly through this, and we'll just give you a quick look at the belt of truth. We go, going, racing, getting there. There's the armor of God. Handsome looking gentleman. And here we go. Any second now, we should be almost there. There it is. Very impressive looking belt, right? Something that every gentleman in this church would want to wear. Incredibly good looking belt. We talked about last week how that belt protects the creativity of who we are. That loins, that part, in the Hebrew term for that really was our creative center. It's our thought life. And truth, that is the belt of truth. Truth protects your thinking. Amen? Your thinking can be deceived by the enemy, by your own desires. Your thinking can be taken away from God. And this truth is something that we need to get a hold of. Last week, we talked about tucking our thoughts into our belt of truth. Did you get that? Did you go home with that mental picture of tucking? You grab every thought, every intent of your heart, every desire, and how often you need to tuck it in to the belt of truth. And we need to tuck ourselves in daily. I don't know about you, but when I used to wear a shirt tucked in, I used to have to tuck it in all the time. Correct? I gave you a mental picture last week. I'm not going to give it to you again. What I'm going to say is about a tradie. We're going to leave that alone. But if someone is walking around without the belt of truth on, things can get nasty and messy. Things can hang out. Your thinking hangs out. Your desires hang out. Who you are away from God starts to overhang in areas of your life. But we need to every day tuck ourselves in to that truth. That's what it talks about. So I'm going to catch up, and we're going to be talking about this morning the breastplate of righteousness. Can we do that? Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to quickly go, give you a mental picture. Here we go, almost there. Wow. There it is. Look at that, eh? Pretty impressive. Yeah. Okay. So, gee, that would be, we should bring those back in fashion, then we could just walk around having a six-pack all the time. Couldn't we, guys? What do you think? You know, it might be, the breastplate might be going out like this. There might be a big gap underneath, but it still look good. What do you think? Should we just make it roll? Maybe not. Could look really good. You could just buckle it in and squeeze it in real tight, and we'd all look ripped. Be fantastic. Anyway, we're off track. I don't know who got me off track. It was one someone out there, not me. Breastplate of righteousness. So just to give you, the breastplate was a central part of a Roman soldier's armor. It provided protection for the torso, which contained vital organs like heart, lungs, and so on. Without the breastplate, a soldier, if they went into battle front ways, they were susceptible to an arrow being shot. There are archers out there who are pretty good at what they do. They get one arrow to the heart and a person's taken out. Amen? A sword, a spear. They wouldn't go into battle without these areas being protected. It was something vital for a soldier. They needed to have this part locked in, and it used to click into the belt of truth. And the breastplate of righteousness was clicked into that. And it was a main. But the main purpose of the breastplate, if you've got a hit to some other part of your torso, even your lung, you can operate on one lung. We've got an amazing singer in this church who only has one lung, Rocky. And he, I don't know about you, but that boy can sing. And so there's other parts of your body that can be taken out, but realistically the most vulnerable part and the real need for a breastplate was the heart. There's not too much that can happen. Once you get an arrow or a spear or a sword thrust through the heart, it's pretty much all over instantly. There's not, you can't limp away to fight another day and yell out something like it's just a flesh wound. You can't do that. You're taken out. It's something that you need to be protected from. So when we look at the context of this spiritually, so let's look what the scripture says, because this breastplate is really, it's made of righteousness, and I believe its number one purpose is to protect our heart. See, in the Word of God, the word heart refers to the center and the source of the whole of our inner life. This is the center of our moral religious life as an individual. The spiritual influence and activity and its origin that affects us affects our heart. That's how the Word of God sees it. It's the center of us. It's where our spiritual activity, it's where our salvation is located. Are you with me? It's where that part of us. It's different to our minds. Your heart is a place. If you wanted to know, you know, where is that part scripturally that refers to that area where we carry our relationship? That's what it is. It's our heart. So the heart is very important. The condition of the heart was the center of Jesus' teaching. He talked about the heart a lot. He talked about how we need to look after in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Why is that not working? Who did that? I did. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Do you get that now? If your heart is that place of spiritual activity, if out of that place in your life comes the influence of God and the spiritual side of your life comes out of that place, then what God is saying to us is keep your heart, keep it tended, keep it in a good place, because out of it, it will affect every issue of your life. Everything will spring out of that. If it's full of God and full of who He is, and out of that tender place of relationship, every issue in our life is affected. Are you with me? A religious leader asked Jesus one day in Matthew 23, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest foremost commandment." Your soul is your emotions. Your heart is your place of relationship. Your mind is your mind. We talked about that. We need truth to battle and to bring our mind into that place of knowing God. The heart is our place of relationship. And the greatest place we could find as a believer, the greatest place we could find our heart is for it to be pure. Amen? If we could get our heart to a place where it's pure before God, we would be in an amazing place. Matthew 5, verse 8. I think we got this. Let's have a look. Maybe not. Okay. Not working. Can we try it from the back, guys? "Blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see God." See, this is what our Christianity is all about. The gospel of Jesus is concerned with our heart and about the condition of our heart and our ability to see God. Amen? See, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, this is what they didn't get. And maybe even the legalists in our day and age now, they made it about God being interested in rituals and the outward appearance, right? They made it all about how you kept yourself, whether or not you observed this ritual and this rite, whether or not you wore this thing and ate this thing or did this thing. They made it all about how you looked, and they would have looked immaculate. They would have had all the right gear. They would have the right turban thing on their head for the right day of the year. They would have prayed in the center of the town. They would have bowed their knee and prayed and been seen. And the part that Jesus hated most about that was it was nothing to do with what God was looking at. God was actually looking at the heart of a person. He wasn't looking at the external. And these religious leaders had got so far off track that they had judged people and made people all judge each other based on whether or not they performed a ritual. And when it came to knowing the Torah or the Word back then, it was whether or not you knew it and could quote it. It wasn't whether or not it was in your heart. Amen? It was how intelligent you were and how many rituals and rites that you knew. And that's why we see Jesus constantly attacking them, because they ignored the inside. And he got quite vocal in Matthew 23, verse 25. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." That's saying it how it is, right? So the condition of the heart was always important to God, even in the old covenant. It was always a part that God looked at. Matthew 5, verse 8 again, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Can I look at that word pure for a moment? Some of you are thinking, how can I get a pure heart? But let's talk about what that is. That word pure, it's the main idea of that is it's being cleansed. It's free from impure mixtures, without blemish, spotless. The basic idea is it's single-mindedness. It has a pure focus. The heart has a pure focus. The pure in heart have clarified their values and their motives. They've got no hidden agendas. They've got no double motives. No, they're not overwhelmed with self-interest. That's what purity is. The pure in heart is completely loyal to God. Are you with me? They have a heart that just beats for God. It's loyal to God. When it comes up against anything that tries to make it disloyal to God, a pure heart just goes, "No. No way. Man, that would break my heart. I can't do that. That would break my heart for God. I'm not going to get involved in that. I can't cross that line. I can't do that thing. No, I can't do it. I'm sorry." Are you with me? It's a heart free from dishonesty and deceit. Pure hearts have intimate fellowship with God. It can only come from a pure encounter with God. It can only come from a real encounter. You can't have a pure heart for God and for it to be religious. You can't. It comes out of relationships. It doesn't come out of your head and your knowledge and knowing this. And you could know all the word, but never, ever, ever get to a place where you just open your heart to God and just talk. And I'm going to talk about how you keep your heart clean. But, you can have people just get clicked into this thing and they read the word, but they don't really have this heart for God. Are you with me? It's about relationship. It's about just being in love with God and doing things out of that motivation. You got this heart that's just turned towards God, and it breaks when it finds itself away from God. It's not a once in a lifetime. It's something that you tend every day. You with me? You see someone with a pure heart, they've got the single motive for their life. They're not conflicted. There's not a whole bunch of different motivations going on and agendas going on. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I think we might have this one. Yes, we do. Because, we live in a world where our heart can, honestly, our heart can be taken somewhere else. Are you with me? I'm talking about that affection center of who you are with God. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen? We live in a world that just wants to take our affections and pollute it and change our motivations and divert us from our love and get us into something else. The eye, it says, is a lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then the light that is in you is darkness. How great how great is the darkness. No one can serve, listen to this, two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is just talking about wealth, but it's talking about a divided heart. It's talking about a heart that isn't devoted. Amen? See, out of relationship comes devotion, right? When you're in love with someone, you're devoted to them. That's simply how it comes. It's not something you have to demand. It's something that you want to do. And we tend our heart, when we keep our heart protected, we just want to, that sense of devotion. You start losing your heart, even in the natural, for another human being. And guess what? Your devotion will lack. I've been in opposite people that are in marriages. They start to lose that affection, that honest love for each other. And what happens? Their devotion starts to wane. How do people get on a track to an affair or something like that? They lose something here, and it gets worse, and it gets in their devotion. And when they come up against a motivation test from their heart, they choose to take a different road because they haven't got that devotion there anymore. Are you with me? You know what? The same can happen with God. God wants that center of us to be something that's just pure. And the best we can get is when we're pure. And when you're pure, do you know what it says? It says that you see God. You know, all through the Bible, people wanted to see God face to face. Moses had a crack at it, but he couldn't. God had to turn his back. And he had, and it says when Moses, he saw the back parts of God because he couldn't see the face of God because it was just too incredibly awesome. But it says when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone so much that the children of Israel had to get him to put a veil on because it just used to blow them away. It'd be like, wow. Because the love of God just permeated him so powerfully that affected everyone. People couldn't look at him because he got that close to God. Greatest pursuit in your life is to get to a place where you can see God. Amen. Amen. It's a long pursuit, just quietly. So how does righteousness protect our heart? Because God says put on a breastplate of righteousness and it's going to protect your heart, protect that intimate place between you and God, protect that relationship, that source, that center of his affection in your life. So he gives us righteousness in the form of a breastplate to do that. See, when it's not protected by righteousness, you know what it is? Quite simply, we lose heart. We lose motivation. Are you with me? I'm going to talk about how, but when you don't understand righteousness, you lose motivation. You lose your motivation to serve him, and you lose your motivation to love him. Simple as that. It's not any more clearer than that. And out of that, you lose so much, because you've got to understand righteousness to understand what can overcome your heart. There's so many things that can overcome your heart, but righteousness stands in that place to protect those things from polluting and overcoming your heart. And you need to have that revelation of righteousness. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, one of my favorite. Okay. Oh, got too far. Where did we go? Okay. Did I go to Acts 13? Somewhere there? Did I go there? No, I didn't. Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. King David was the only person in the Bible who is described as a man after God's own heart. And I'm going to read a psalm in a moment because I think there's something amazing about David. See, when we turn to the Psalms and we read about David, when you read about what he was like and what was that key when he had this heart and God actually singled him out and he said, there's a man that's after my heart. There's a man that gets it. And I love this about David because, man, he was a complete stuff up. Honestly, most of you in this room, well, I would say that all of you in this room have not done what he did. How many people have murdered someone? Okay, don't put your hand up. That's a bit scary. I shouldn't have asked that. He committed adultery and then he murdered. Is that a big stuff up? That's not a small trip. That's a big flip out. But when you read the story of David in Psalms 32, verse 1, I think I've got this. Can I just see if I've got it? Please. Ah, yes. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. This is David. In whose spirit there is no deceit. When I keep silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity, and I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Do you know what David had? David had the key to cleansing his heart. He knew when he had sin, when he had deceit, when he had things polluting his heart. It says that there was a drudgery. He lost motivation. I kept silent. My bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. He just felt weighed by his sin. He knew the revelation of getting himself before God, understanding righteousness and bursting open his heart to God and saying, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Purify it, God. Bring it back to that place where it's pure again, where my motivation and my love for you and all these pollutants, and he said, I will not keep them in the dark. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer, which means he lost all his energy. When you've got sin and stuff swirling, and it just, you know what? It'll suck your motivation to love God and serve him. So what I'm saying is, use righteousness and deal with it. Now. Deal with it. Deal with it. Get your heart. I don't care how many times it takes you. With righteousness, if we understand righteousness, we understand what we're forgiven. But the problem is with a lot of that is that we don't actually get the revelation of the forgiveness because we just haven't sat before God and said, God, I'm sorry, and given it to him. Are you with me? It's not actually your words repenting of your sin that activate your forgiveness. Your forgiveness was activated already through Jesus Christ. You get that? That's righteousness. But you need to forgive yourself. And if you want to walk in repentance, which is doing 180 degrees and walking the other way, you need to acknowledge what you've done wrong, accept it, and ask God to create in you a clean and open heart, and then say, God, help me, and start walking the opposite way. Are you with me? And David, you know what? David got that. David got that. David got what it was. I mean, he did commit murder and he did commit adultery more than anyone. David got what it was to get things reset, to get his heart reset before God and to move on. You know, there are people in this place that you can't even forgive yourself, let alone someone else. Yeah? Righteousness is something that we use as a protection for our relationship. with God. Are you with me? Can I just say something? And I've said it before. But grace and righteousness, the only thing that grace and righteousness really, really does is protect you and your relationship with God. If you go out there and sinning and you think I can put it all on grace and I can understand his righteousness, well, guess what? You're going to run into consequence. Amen? You're going to run into whatever you sow, you reap. You're going to run into sowing and reaping from your sin. But God's grace and righteousness, but all through that, will protect you and him. This is what this is doing. It's why the breastplate of righteousness is protecting the center of who we are, which is our relationship with God. Amen? It's not going to protect a whole bunch of other things. It's not going to protect you from all the consequences of living in sin. It won't protect you from that. God will get involved and help and what have you, but if you just keep on doing it, you're going to suffer the consequences of it. Are you with me? Do you get that? But it always protects your relationship with him, because that's what God's about. God wants you to keep strong with him and keep open with him. And David knew what it was to come back to the source. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. His righteousness gives you right standing with God. Gives you the ability to clear out the pollutants of your heart and to reset your heart, to bring it to a pure place and have that ability to look into the face of God. Amen? So your heart is your motivation to want to be with God and serve him. You can't do this out of obligation. You run out of steam. You got to do it out of the center of you, out of love. Just next one. Not working? Why don't we stand to our feet? Can we flick a couple more, guys? One more. One more. Should be one more. There he is. Is he good? You need to protect the most precious part of you. That place where your relationship, your affection for God, your service for him resides. Amen? I see a lot of people lose motivation for God. They lose motivation for their relationship. That's where it starts in terms of serving the house. You can't serve God fully without being in love with him. Amen? After a while, you just start thinking, oh, what am I doing? And you start to see your serving become more about the people and how they ask you to do something and what they've asked you to do and how dare they and who are they really and what's going on. And, you know, all they do is ask me to do this. They ask me to go to a life group once every 2 weeks that they know how busy I am. They ask me to come to church once on a Sunday, on a weekend. And, you know, they ask me to help out. Man, everything becomes tough when you're out of love. Amen? In a natural relationship, you get two people that are in love with it, and then they stop being in love with it, and they start drawing up lines over who does what and how you did. Well, I did this, this, and this. Well, I did this, this, and this. Well, you know, I've got a bigger list than you. Oh, I've got, well, mine are more important. And you get into all of that. When you get down that road, it just gets tough. Amen? God wants you to live in a place of motivation for Him. And out of relationship, I tell you, if you tend your heart and you keep it clean, He'll give you this internal motivation out of love that'll just drive you. How does someone pick up their family and move to some crazy place on the planet? How do they do that? And live that way, maybe with their kids or what have you. Why? Because their heart is motivated through their affection for Christ. There are people that'll do it out of obligation, absolutely. But I find those people never last. You know, I love the picture of this Mother Teresa. Just served her generation. Amen? We need to protect that amazing part of who we are. And it is our revelation of righteousness. And it's our devotion to a pure heart. And using that revelation of righteousness to keep our heart pure and clean. Amen? So, why don't we get the band to come up now. So why don't we just for a moment, can I make you do what you should do in your quiet time? Can I make you do that for a couple of minutes? Is that all right? I'm not going to ask you to confess anything to anyone around you. But I'm going to ask you just for a moment, just to close your eyes. Just close your eyes.